Our esteemed guest today is Reverend Vicki Elder. She serves as a senior minister at Unity of Monterey, where she's been for 26 years. They are blessed to have you down in Monterey. So Vicki is a leader of leaders. She is a regional consultant and representative for the West Central region here in our Unity environs. And she has become recently a Unity Worldwide Ministries consultant, so for the whole movement. For us, she's been a consultant to our board of trustees, brought us lots of wisdom around topics like shadow work and prosperity, and a couple of years of orienting our board. So we've gotten to know you pretty well, and to know you is to love you. So Vicki will be our go-to gal when I am on sabbatical over the next few months. I'll be here next Sunday, and then I'm off. And so she'll be our person to call if there's anything that comes up unexpected, or we just need an ear, our board of trustees or staff need someone to talk through something with. Here she is. So we thought it would be nice to get to know her a little bit together as a congregation, and then she'll be with us at the community gathering this afternoon, leading our attraction circle. So we're going to have a conversation here on love and leadership and purpose and wherever else we go, right? And we'll try not to go too long, but we'll see how it rolls. This actually is a theme too for us here at Unity of Walnut Creek this year. Sometimes we like to have a theme for the year, and this year's is developing leadership. So it feels like a timely kickoff to that theme. So all that to say, Vicki, what is leadership? Let's start there. Tell us what you think leadership is.
Well, my most recent understanding of leadership comes from an organization that our church is part of that's called COPA. It's a community organizing group, and it's made up of 28 different institutions, including churches and synagogues and nonprofits and schools and labor unions, etc. And what I've learned there is that leadership is actually in all of us, and it's the capacity to invite, engage, enroll others to join you in doing something meaningful. Mm. And it doesn't even have to be about other people. It can also be about us developing that higher self in us that leads us into our higher good or our higher purpose and service.
I like the expansive definition that you've given us, because, you know, so I think a lot of times when people hear leader, they think, oh, you have to be in some kind of specific formal role, you know, managing a department of people or something, you know, that's kind of, or that you need to be a governing leader or something. And so it reminds me that, you know, the expression that we use, I'm leading my life, right? You're a leader if you've got a life, right? If you're here embodied on earth right now, you are automatically a leader because you are choosing all the time how you're going to lead that life. How you're going to show up in your family, how you're going to show up in all your relationships, how, you know, all of that is an opportunity for leadership. So I like how expansive that is. And what about, is there a distinction between spiritual leadership and leadership for you?
Well, as we were sharing and talking about before, I think that leadership in our culture is evolving, and whether it's called conscious leadership or servant leadership, we're getting this idea that whether it's in a profit-making company or a church, that effective leadership is really about bringing us all together and developing leadership in one another and becoming all that we can become. And so I look at leadership as my responsibility of doing my healing work, of becoming more emotionally and spiritually mature, inviting others, that we should all be doing that, because the more healed and the more mature we become, the more we become natural leaders in the world by our example, as well as by the behaviors that we're inspired to because of that growth that we're experiencing. So while a company may have a different goal, you know, they want to make a profit or something, where a church, we want to grow spiritually. So the tools we use may differ, but I think the leadership principles are basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm going to adjust a little bit because I feel like I have my back to you all.
So I keep trying to...
I know. make sure we've got the full swing here. And thanks to those who are online, by the way. We're happy that you're joining us today. So we have a lot of questions, so I'm just kind of wanting to zero in on a few. What would you say to somebody, because I know folks like this, and I have been one of these people, and can show up as this, in this way all the time, of you kind of feel like you're being called or nudged, or you're curious, you sort of want to step into a leadership role, but then you shy away from it. There's a hesitation there. There's perhaps some fear or uncertainty or questioning your skills or abilities or whatever it may be, the amount of time you have to give to it. How do you counsel somebody who comes to you with that kind of hesitancy, at the same time maybe wanting to do something?
Well, my style of counseling is largely asking questions, facilitating rather than, and maybe, you know, teaching or some examples may come up, but it's really about helping the individual find their own answers. We all have our own answers. And so it's helping them do that. So coming back to them about what's your passion, you know, what's calling you, what would give meaning to your life? Why are you feeling like something's calling you? And as they voice that, because what I've found is oftentimes when things are in my head, they go round and round and round. But if I actually voice it, then it becomes real, and then it becomes a power, and then it calls me even stronger. And so once they voice what that passion is and such, then if there still is something in the way, because I also find sometimes when you discover your passion, the fears kind of fall away, but to invite them to explore, so what is in the way? And if it's time or such, to be real and to say, but what can you do? You don't have to do it all. I love that Jewish proverb that we're all called to serve and to heal the world. We're not expected to finish the work, but we're all called to do the work.
That's a good one. And what you were just speaking to of this sense of passion and purpose really is a really good lead-in to, as a part of Black History Month, we want to feature some really wonderful folks who have contributed to the history of who we are as people, but also contemporary folks who have made that kind of contribution. And one of those is people is Chadwick Boseman. Some of you might know him. He's an actor, was an actor, and he was the lead in Black Panther, which is what he's best known for. He tragically, well, disappointingly for us, I guess I should say, in 2020, made his transition after he struggled with, worked through colon cancer. But he was truly a leader in a lot of ways. And here he is addressing some college grads. So let's take a look at what he has to say.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
I'm inspired. Get out there. How about you? Yeah, yeah. So that really leads us into love, I think. The, you know, having my senses of spiritual leadership, that there is this embedded kind of sense of love that, you know, what he doesn't use that word, but that's really what he's, I think, speaking of in broad terms, that sense. What do you just go ahead with any reflections you want on divine purpose or love and leadership. Yeah, what's present?
Yeah, I really resonated with his, that idea that, you know, if we get clear about our purpose, what ours to do, the vehicles will just show up. I grew up in a family that was grounded in love. I didn't realize it then because there weren't Unity churches, but it was actually with Unity teachings. My great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mom all, you know, were New Thought students, though it was never presented to me that way until I called my mom and said, I found a church, and it's Unity. And she said, well, don't you remember the daily word, and don't you remember the prayers I taught you, and such. And so we attended a congregational church, so it hadn't sunk in quite that way. But both my parents were models of service in the world. I mean, my dad was a meat cutter, and my mom was a homemaker and a seamstress. But they were also scout leaders and 4-H leaders and belonged to service clubs. And we were taught to leave the world a better place than we found it, from leaving a public bathroom at a gas station cleaner than we found it, to a campsite. We always went around and cleaned up to make it cleaner than it was when we got there. And so it was just instilled in me that was, you know, my purpose was to help make the world a better place. And I was a child of the 60s. And so that also, you know, there was a lot of, we need to make the world a better place for everyone. I love Unity's thing of a world that works for all, that idea. And so I worked in various jobs, some local service jobs, and I worked for the state for 15 years, and federal government for a period of time there. And my late husband, Rory, and I, who became ministers together, at the state level, finally realized that, you know, the state doesn't lead. We went to work for the state thinking we could change things, and we found out that that's not where change happens. And so as we also found Unity during that time period and such, and so more and more we were hearing this calling that if we want to change the world, we need to change consciousness. And so that's what called us out of state government into ministry. And so that purpose of serving, and I agree that it is love. It's always love. And I remember reading a book that talked about God being all-powerful, but that power was power under, not power over. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, power under is love. That's what transforms, that's what heals, that's what inspires. And so in Unity, we don't believe in a God that's out there, that intervenes, that has power over us, but rather a God that lives within us and lifts us up and calls us higher. And so I try and hold that in my idea of leadership, is that we need to be a power under, not a power over, mm-hmm. whoever we're working with. And in that way, you know, become a team and become practice our oneness so that we're all in this together, basically.
Yeah, power under is really back to the beginning theme, right? Leaders develop leaders. Yeah. And we're all leaders. So that means we're constantly developing ourselves and developing each other by that principle of love, that foundation of love. Yeah. I love what you said. I really made a thing out of it at 9:30 because I was like, whoa, I'm leaving with this gem of wisdom. But you said it really pithy at 9:30. You realize that government follows, it doesn't lead. And I don't know why, all of a sudden that just flipped a switch for me. I don't know if it does for anybody else here, but maybe it seems like a no-brainer to a lot of you, but...
It took me 15 years.
Yeah, it took you 15 years, so I'm thinking maybe not, you know, but to recognize that's not where... It's not that governing doesn't have a role, it's not that it's not important, but so often we think that's where it comes from, right? Because we've got this sort of top-down, trickle-down kind of mentality, and the world's shifting. It's just, it's like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. Do you feel it? And it's coming, it's rumbling up from that power under, and it's rumbling up through us and as us. And so I just love your, you know, how interesting it is that all the, you know, as a former minister of mine, Mike Matoin, used to say, I had 87 unrelated jobs until I came into ministry. And it's like, you don't necessarily think they're related, but here you are, you know, pulling from an experience in government that I'm sure was very powerful and effective in its own ways and frustrating and bureaucratic and all that stuff as well. But to know, to remember that all of us, no matter where we are, no matter where we go, whether we're driving down the street or we're in the grocery store or we're talking to our grandkids or kids or parents, that there's an opportunity to lead, to be a leader, to be somebody who's tapped into that power underneath it all. It's good stuff.
Well, and we know unity teaches us it's all about consciousness. So, you know, just being in regular practice of meditation, we know we're changing the world. We know our consciousness. So that's leadership. The more we can develop ourselves, I think love is about wholeness. The more we become whole, the more we become expressions of God, right? That becomes a way to lead.
I want to bring one other thing in that it's a line from the Tao Te Ching that was translated by Stephen Mitchell. It's from verse 63 for you Tao Te Chingers out there, Tyler. Paul's in here somewhere. And this is the way he translates it anyway. It says, when the master runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. And then in the notes, he puts a finer point on it, and I love this metaphor. He says, a difficulty is like a letter, like a personal letter we would get with our address on it, addressed to us. And that just really grabbed me, and it made me think about your work as a consultant in particular, because a lot of times, you know, when Vicky gets a call from the region or worldwide ministry, it's like, Vicky, we've got a problem here, right? There's a conflict, there's a challenge. So you're trained to work with people in our most challenging times, in our conflictual times. So does this idea of like addressing the problem, like as it arrives, like, ooh, goody, I got a letter. Or maybe not goody, but you know, I got a letter. Does that land for you at all in your work as a consultant?
Well, even before that, I think about 5 years into ministry, I heard a religious science minister talk about his spiritual journey and how he'd gone from manifestation, because you know, as we all sort of come in to new thought lots of times with this idea we can manifest our lives, right? And if we vision what we want and all of that. And he talked about that he'd done that for years, and it's powerful to learn the power of, you know, mind action and all of that, but that he is now shifted into surrender. And that changed my ministry, my life, and everything at that point, because what I took from that was, I, stepping into ministry, had given my life to God, right? I wanted to be present for God. So that just like we say when you're going to go to ministerial school, as soon as you make the decision, everything that happens from you from now on is part of the curriculum for ministry. Well, so too, once you're there, any part of life, everything that shows up in your life, my life, is a lesson. It's there to help me become more of who I really am. And so even when my, you know, it's gotten me through losing my dad, losing my partner, that was major, was this question. It's not that you don't grieve, it's not that you don't feel the pain, but it's what's here to teach me? What's the lesson I'm being given an opportunity to become more of who I'm supposed to be? My vision had been doing partnership ministry, and here I was now. We did that for 8 years, and then it was me. And I had to step into that. And so when you look at each situation as, oh, and maybe cry, yell, stamp right. your foot first, and then go, oh, this is a lesson. What can I learn from this? And it's never failed to take me through, because you stop focusing on the issue and you start looking at how can I grow here? So I go into ministries with that same thing. That's an orientation. So all this that's going on is your ministry's call to come higher. So what are the lessons here for you to learn? Where can you go from this? How can you learn to forgive more or to take a stronger stand or whatever the issues are bringing up, but helping them see that everything's for our highest good. That's what we mean when we say God is good all the time. It doesn't show up in rainbows and butterflies all the time, but it's always for our good. Always can call us higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of last weekend, Vicki was with our board of trustees and she brought us some shadow work worksheet. And that idea that you look and see what's here, what's present. And you talked about spiritual bypass, which is kind of what this points to in a way. It's like, you know, I got the letter, right? I have the experience happening right now in my life. I'm not going to try to curtail it. You know, spiritual bypass is kind of like affirm it away, or, you know, let's keep it positive. Let's not deal with it, you know, the big elephant that's in the room. And so this is a way of saying, oh, but this is even though it may be difficult or it may be painful or it may be hard to speak the truth in this scenario, that's what's arrived at my door.
Right.
And for a reason. And to see it, to meet it, and to see the blessing that unfolds from there.
Yeah. You remember the prosperity teaching? I'm not sure which one it was, but there's a part in it that they suggest that whatever's coming into your life, you put your hand on your hip and say, I demand to see the blessing in
yes.
this.
It's a good stance. Yeah, you got to do it like that, right?
You've got to have attitude.
That's the only way. That's the only way. Well, I know that we could talk forever here, and I have tons of other questions I'd like to ask, but I'm aware that we have music to hear and prayers to be said and much more to experience today. So just thank you for your time with us to share with us a little about love and leadership. Yeah. And as always, we have an affirmation to share together, so I invite you to say this with me. It's an easy one to remember. Let's say this together. I lead my life with love, and so it is.